CD 8.
Nanny, who had Grebo's ability to make herself instantly at home wherever she happened to be, sat down in the corner of the cell. "I heard this story once," she said, "where this bloke got locked up for years and years, and he learned amazing stuff about the universe and everything from another prisoner who was incredibly clever, and then he escaped and got his revenge."
"What incredibly clever stuff do you know about the universe, Githa Og?" said Granny.
"Bugger all," said Nanny cheerfully.
"Then we'd better bloody well escape right now."
Nanny pulled a scrap of pasteboard out of her hat, found a scrap of pencil up there too, licked the end and thought for a while. Then she wrote, "Dear Jason, Unso Whiter, as they say in foreign parts. Well, here's a thing. You're all mum doing time in prison again. I'm an old lag. You'll have to send me a cake with a file in it, and I shall have little arrows on me clothes. Just my joke. This is a sketch of the dungeon. I'm putting a X where we are, which is inside. Magrat is shown wearing a posh dress. She has been acting like a courgette. Also, Ink, Esme getting fed up because she can't get the lock to work. But I expect it will all be okay because the good ones win in the end, and that's us. And all because some girl don't want to marry a prince who is a duck, who is really a frog. And I can't say I blame her. You don't want descendants who have got genes and start off living in a jam jar and then hop about and get squashed." She was interrupted by the sound of a mandolin being played quite, well, right on the other side of the wall, and a small but determined voice raised in song.
"Si consuenti d'amori, ventredimo tondre turo."
"How I hunger, my love, for the dining room of your warm maceration," said Nanny without looking up.
"Della della toserento, odri tidren vontai."
The shop, I have a lozenge, the sky is pink," said Nanny. Granny and Magrat looked at one another.
"Guarunto teltari bellar pori di larientos."
"Rejoice, candlemaker, you have a great big..."
"I don't believe any of this," said Granny. "You're making it up."
"Word for word translation," said Nanny. "I can speak foreign like a native. You know that."
"Mrs. Og, is that you, my love?"
They all looked up towards the barred window. There was a small face peering in. "Cousin Under," said Nanny.
"That's me, Mrs. Og."
"My love," muttered Granny.
"How did you get up to the window?" said Nanny, ignoring this.
"I always know where I can get my hands on a stepladder, Mrs. Og."
"I suppose you don't know where you can get your hands on a key."
"Wouldn't do any good. There's too many guards outside your door, Mrs. Og, even for a famous swordsman like me. Her ladyship gave strict orders. No one's to listen to you, or look at you even."
"How come you're in the palace guard, Cousin Under?"
"Soldier of fortune takes whatever jobs are going, Mrs. Og," said Cousin Under earnestly.
"But all the rest of 'em are 6 foot tall, and you're of the shorter persuasion."
"I lied about my height, Mrs. Og. I'm a world-famous liar."
"Is that true?"
"No."
"What about you being the world's greatest lover?"
There was a silence for a while.
"Well, maybe I'm only number two," said Cousin Under, "but I try harder."
"Can't you go and find us a file or something, Mr. Cousin Under?" said Magrat.
"I'll see what I can do, miss."
The face disappeared.
"Maybe we could get people to visit us, and then we could escape in their clothes," said Nanny Og.
"Now I've gone and stuck the pin in my finger," muttered Granny Weatherwax.
"Or maybe we could get Magrat to seduce one of the guards," said Nanny.
"Why don't you?" said Magrat, as nastily as she could manage.
"All right, I'm game."
"Shut up, the pair of you," said Granny. "I'm trying to think."
There was another sound at the window. It was Legba. The black cockerel peered in between the bars for a moment and then fluttered away.
"Gives me the creeps, that one," said Nanny. "Can't look at him without thinking wistfully of..."